Three, picking up again on our regular assembly meeting. We left off with amendments to the agenda. There were none. Is there any conflict of interest in the agenda tonight? Hearing none. Consent agenda.
Move to approve the agenda submitted.
It's been moved. We have a second.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Pisanka?
Yes. Borough manager's report.
Coming.
You should.
For the commuting delay.
No problem.
We have more time than money. So,
all right. A few things I wanted to go over since my last KYP out to the assembly. And so just a reminder that high school graduation is this Friday, May 17th. And I actually don't have a time. Assembly member Decker, I'm sure, does know what time graduation starts.
7
p.m. Okay. And then also I wanted to let everybody know this Sunday, the 19th, the Wrangell Mariners Memorial will be having a shrimp and crab feed and the 2019 Blessing of the Fleet at 5 p.m. at Heritage Harbor. And that's on Sunday. And not as exciting news, the assembly probably recalls that prior to the divestiture of the hospital to Search, there were two human rights complaints filed by employees, and those investigations are ongoing. The insurance company that we had a policy with at the time, is because those complaints are covered under that previous insurance policy, has hired Bob Blasco to represent the insurance company on those claims. And the Human Rights Commission investigator will be in Wrangell next week interviewing a couple of employees who are being called, I guess, as witnesses or observers potentially to some of this behavior. I have gotten in touch with the current Search hospital administrator to let her know what's going on. She is putting Bob Blasco and the Search attorney together just so that everybody knows what's going on. But any details associated with this stuff, I'll bring back to you in executive session, but I wanted to let you know that this process is now moving forward and the investigator will be in town next week. For whatever reason, I'm not sure I understand entirely, a representative of the borough or our attorney is allowed only to listen in on one of those interviews, not the other one. And so Bob is going to listen in on the one interview that was permitted by the commission to sit in on. And so anyway, we'll get an update as soon as we can. So I just wanted to let you know that's going on. The community development block grant agreement was signed today and got back to the to the state, and it is likely they are going to have to approve everything as we move along, so it's not like we can just cut a check and we'll have a new fire truck, but that process is continuing to move forward, and I thank Carol for working so efficiently through that. I must have dropped it someplace, but the Nolan Center, Cindy, has created a brand new trifold boat brochure for the Nolan Center, and she actually will be she'll be giving a presentation at the next meeting, just an update on what's going on at the facility, and she'll be able to show you the new trifold brochure that she created then. But it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this last night at our budget work session. We got notice on Friday from Susan Erickson that our property and liability insurance will be increasing approximately $51,500 for the upcoming year. That's an increase from what was paid this fiscal year of $234,284 to $285,763. And that's with a 3-year commitment. If we decide we only want to sign up for 1 year, the annual premium shoots up another $15,000 to just over $300,000. And the reason for this is there have been an enormous amount of claims around the state. And so everybody in the state is taking a hit on property and liability insurance. I also want to give a huge shout out to Alicia. We, interestingly enough, got a notification from the attorney, from our attorney, from the Juno attorney, that he couldn't say anything except just very minimally that anybody out there, all municipalities needed to be paying attention to requested payroll changes, account changes to where payroll is going, checks and things. And I brought that up with our staff, and Alicia and Lee said, well, funny you should say something. Alicia just successfully thwarted an attack. We got a request for a payroll change for Mr. Howell. It was emailed in from his email address.
Wow.
And Alicia said, you have to fill out the appropriate form, and emailed it back to him. The form was filled out and returned. And Alicia noticed that it was a very odd type of account, and so she questioned Roland, and Roland said, no, I never asked for this. So thankfully, she was paying attention, saw something
Damn.
Weird.
Dave's account.
Caught me wrong.
He got me most of my money anyways.
Foiled
so
again.
I
awesome.
I just
awesome
want to
job.
Say
good job,
yes,
Alicia.
Good job, Alicia, for foiling that attempt, and so that Roland still got paid, and it's not some Nigerian prince from which we normally get these requests on the internet. And
sure.
Right.
Is that the same packing as where Steve
no.
emailed me and asked me for money?
Maybe. So our internal controls have changed for this specifically. Alicia now needs to see you in person, tell her, in addition to filling out the form for your payroll account changes. So we're dealing with that. The other recommendation from the Juno attorney was to make sure that you have cyber crimes insurance. Confirmed with our insurance agent, and we do in fact have $2 million worth of coverage for cyber crime, so I just wanted to let you guys know that. The fire department just completed an ETT class, and I don't have the numbers of how many people went through that class.
Six.
But I wanted to thank Dee Dee for her efforts, because she really knocked it out of the park with the training. So thank you to her. The library is having, and the Friends of the Library are having a yard party on Saturday the 18th. So if anybody's interested in volunteering some time and doing a little yard work at the library, you can join the Friends. And donations are also being accepted by the library right now for the summer reading program. And the elementary students have been coming down in class shifts to get their orientation for the summer reading program. So that's we're gearing up for that. The generators are all packed in Nome, as are the spare parts and equipment, ready to go. And actually, our folks were up there in about a week less than anticipated, which is great. Unfortunately, part of the reason they were up there for such a short period of time is because they expected to be able to be there for the move of the stuff to get it ready for shipment, but AML staff was not there yet, and we were unable to use their equipment without them being there. So this is likely going to require one of our staff to go back to Nome when the stuff is actually transferred prior to the bar, leaving for the bar. So just wanted to let you know that project is moving forward. The police chief position is closed. We ended up with 4 applicants, all in state, and I began looking at the applications today, and we're going to start moving forward with that process. But I need to finalize an interview committee, and I need one member of the assembly to sit on that. Well, actually, we talked about two.
And those two members that come forward, David and Jim.
Okay. So is that...
That was what was decided at the meeting. They were the only two that came forward.
Okay. A couple other things I wanted to let you know of. Just quickly, I'll go over an update I got from Ray Matuszewski, our state lobbyist today. So the House and Senate Conference Committee is meeting daily to resolve the differences between the House and Senate versions of the operating budget. They're hoping to finish up all the remaining differences by tomorrow, and they are still working toward adjoining by tomorrow night at midnight. The school bond debt reimbursement was fully funded at the 70% reimbursement rate yesterday by the conference committee. Now, the governor still has the ability to line item veto that, but it's in there. There's a significant difference between the two budgets for the Alaska Marine Highway System. The House version contains a $10 million cut, and the Senate version contains a $44 million cut. Ooh. So where that will end up in conference committee, they don't know, but they're hoping that they'll be able to do some work still with the governor, the conference committee working with the governor's office, so that they can arrive at some sort of compromise that will not end up in a line item veto by the governor. The fisheries tax has been fully funded at $21.7 million by both the House and the Senate, as has fisheries resource landing tax at $6.7 million. The landing tax is far less important for us as the raw fish tax, but that's in there. So again, we'll see what happens. And then that's it right now. Ray included a guide that talks about the process that happens if there's a veto and how it goes back for consideration by the legislature if that were to happen. And so I can pass that link on to everybody if you would like. And then finally, I wanted to let you know, we have talked about in our previous budget discussions the 9.5 increase in health insurance premiums. And one of the things that I'm familiar with doing previously is taking a look at where those claims are to see why we were up 125% over the premiums paid, and so why we have this increase. And so we asked our representative to get that information, and we weren't able to get across the board information on all claims, but they looked into a couple of different things, ER visits and admits. And we've been asked to keep that information confidential because of concern, small pool of people, small town. We don't want to unwittingly give anything away that might provide an insight into somebody's health care. But one of the things we're going to be looking into and trying to educate our staff on is going to the emergency room for non-emergent things, because that just increases the costs. And so there are a couple of different things I think we're going to look at based on claims history to see if we can't work with the staff to try to drop our claims in the future, which will hopefully help mean a stabilization or a drop in our health insurance rates. But we're going to work on that.
We want to do just an employee education program, because there is a triage nurse that's available that you can call after hours and speak to. And it's through search. It's a search line.
Okay.
And they will talk you through and say, I think if nothing changes, you're probably good to wait to go to the clinic tomorrow versus no, you better get up there tonight. Yeah, and it's free.
So they're also, I think, in this is not necessarily unique to Wrangell, in that if people can't get into the clinic, they will sometimes just go to the emergency mm-hmm. room so that they can be seen, and perhaps don't necessarily understand what the impact of that is on overall claims. And so trying to do a little bit of education there. And
there's an easy way to prevent it.
Yep.
The easiest way to prevent that, up the deductible. If people have more money coming out of their own pockets, they're much less likely to go and take advantage of that service.
After you walked up Bill both ways?
Through 10 feet of smoke.
So anyway, we're working on some ideas that we're just at the infant stages of that and the initial stages of that, but I wanted to let you know that it is not it does not go unnoticed. That's a significant increase. Mm. Anyway, with that, Mr. Mayor, unless anybody has any questions.
Any questions? Thank you, Lisa. Kim, you're up.
Okay. A couple things. So on my clerk's report, I have 5:15 and 5:16 budget work sessions. Of course, we're not going to be having those, so those have been canceled. And I'm going to be gone starting Friday, and I'll be back on the following Thursday. I'm going to closely with Lisa and staff, and I can work in Muni code to get the packet compiled and sent out to you. So I will do that. There is one May 20th. I'm sorry, this was done.
That's okay.
So we do have, right, the Assembly has a work session on May 20th at 5:30, and that's for the chopped salad. tossed salad.
We can have salad. At that meeting.
So, yeah, and I asked Alicia, and she is going to make you folks supper that night.
Perfect. Any questions for Kim? Okay.
It's not real human.
We're on to number 9, Mayor and Assembly Business. Anybody have any reports? David.
The friends of NRA and the Steve Sportsman got a grant for $15,000. We've been working with Amber and Roland and Kate. It's been working really well. Range improvements. Guys, updates on that as we go along.
That's really fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, that's a community service group that's really awesome. Yep.
And the only thing I have is I will be working with Cindy to try and get this Friends of the Museum thing figured out. It looks like initially we may be able to keep it with the city without having to go through that application process again, but we're having a meeting on the 23rd to you know, to see if it's a mess right now because, you know, Janelle's down south, she's not going to be back. The people that are in it now are tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do what we can to keep going and get some answers.
Perfect. Thank you. Kim?
Can I ask Assemblymember Powell for confirmation? Did you say the Stikine Sportsmen's gave the NRA $15,000?
No. Okay. So Friends of NRA applied for a grant through the Stikine Sportsmen Association.
Okay.
Julie.
I just want to say this Sunday will be a blessing of the fleet and a shrimp crab feed South Brother Rain Mariners Memorial at 5 PM at the site.
Did you miss the meeting where she just told us that?
It's twice as important.
I'm going for sure now.
No, it's three times.
Patrick, you like to talk about anything going on Sunday?
FIPM.
Didn't I just write that down?
So I'd like to take a couple minutes to just update the Assembly on the proposed renewed operations plan for SEPA. I asked for it to go out, and did it go out electronically?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so everybody should have received it electronically. This is what the board is going to take up in June while we're here in Wrangell. And Robert Seidman is our engineer, and he's a really bright fella. And he's gone through and he basically has to write logarithms in order to take all of this information. And then he takes like 5 different sources for weather. And he looks at what's going on from the El Nino and the El blobs that are out there and so on.
And the Pacific Decadal Oscillation, which is a new term I heard.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff in here. So if you get a chance to read it, the preamble is excellent in terms of what we're experiencing, and we are experiencing a drought in Southeast Alaska. And it's bizarre because in many ways what we thought climate change was going to do is make your climate more extreme. In the way, the direction that it usually goes. So we should be wetter and more, you know, rainforesty, and the desert will be drier and hotter, and California will be hotter. They're not seeing that everywhere, and this is one place that we're not seeing it. So to the nitty gritty, I had requested in our meetings that a fence be created around the Guy Curve. I think Robert did a brilliant job of that. Everything I read on this, and Lisa feels the same way, really brought me a lot of confidence that they are honoring our requirement to be, that our firm power needs are met first prior to sales south. you think about it, that's a little bit tricky because they're looking down the road and saying, but it should rain. So we'll sell a bunch now because we've got the water there, and then it'll fill up with that rain. Well, if that rain doesn't come, they wind up in trouble like they did last year. So there's now a fence on the guy curve. And if we fall below the lower fence, all sales are suspended. And we don't start selling until we're 30 feet above the board-approved draft. And we will never sell if we go above below 30 feet. So we always have a 30-foot buffer, with the idea being that will get us through a dry time. That 30 feet will be there available for us. There's a couple of tricky things in there that we have to kind of keep an eye on. And one of them is, although, you know, if I was asked, do they still owe us water? You know, that's a good question. If you look at our traditional guy curve, say from the last year or two, we are back where we normally are. So we are down here at 1270 today, but we were down at 1264. And that's where we should be for the time of year. But if I look back 4 years, we were actually at 1280. If I look back 5 years, we were actually at 1300. So we were higher previously going through our dry period than we are. So we are starting at the very lowest. We are starting where we were starting last year when we got into trouble. So now hopefully by not selling till we meet the parameters, we're going to be able to sustain our firm power needs moving through the year. So to say, do they owe us any water? I guess it would depend if you took a 5 or 6 year average and look where we should be as compared to we were, and you look at the weather and a factor and all these other things, who knows? But we have to have a period where we say, okay, we're done. That part of our history we're done with, now we're moving along. I spoke with Lisa and said that I wasn't comfortable really signing off on this myself without having another set of eyeballs on it. And we did ask Steve Henson to also look at this. And he felt that it was also a very fair deal. He said that it appears that they're being a little bit more conservative even than he would have thought, and he thought that was looking good. I did send some feedback through to Robert on a couple of things and mechanisms that I'd like to see in place that could continue to trigger as we get lower, mostly around how we interchange with Swan, because it's an interconnected system, and we don't ever want to just say, we get all the power out of water out of Cayey and you get all the water out of Swan, because we can balance the two reservoirs. There's a wonderful balancing act that goes on there. They don't always fill at the same rates, and we would be silly to not allow transfer for that balancing act. So we talked about that as well. One of the best things about this agreement is that it will take a supermajority to change it. So Ketchikan does not have the capacity in its alternating years. They have the whole balance of power. They can't change it unless they convince Wrangell or Petersburg to go along. Because I think supermajority for us is
4 out of 5.
So that brings us some security from sort of being raided at any point. Not that Ketchikan has done that, but nobody can alter this agreement. There is capacity to alter it if there's going to be damage to equipment or there's going to be rolling blackouts in the community. Then all bets are off, and we always know that. So there's a way for them to access if they needed it for a reason, for an emergency. Let's say Swan went down because their generator ran out. Well, then we'd all help out however we could. Julie?
So I'm just curious about the mechanism of
this
majority. Like, so typically things like bylaws or our sales agreement has that kind of thing written into it. So this is just written into
and actually Joel put that in our lawyer. He wanted that in there. And I think in some ways it also protects the organization from constantly, like, you don't want to have alternating year battles. And we don't want to go, wow, you messed with us last year, we've got the balance of power, we're going to mess with you this year. And that just plays, that's unproductive. So although this has been incredibly painful and stressful, I think at the end of the day, it highlighted a lot of weaknesses in the power sales agreement that our founding fathers had not anticipated. And I think that if we continue with this sort of gated guide curve, fenced guide curve, it will allow us to ensure that we will have our best shot to get through the entire year with nothing but high growth.
That sounds pretty good, Steve. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are they looking for other water sources?
Yes.
Other hydro sources?
Yes, we completed a huge hydro site analysis, and those results are going to be released here soon. But you are looking at multiple years.
Oh, I know. I know. It's not a... But if we don't start...
And we're aware. We have filed on the White River.
I knew that.
And we, for a run-of-river project that could add... several makes, but would allow us to store water in Taiyi for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
When the river stops flowing, you pull the water up and you store it. And that's a relatively short turnaround. We also looked at thermal, Belle Island,
mm-hmm.
and we did an analysis of Belle Island, but it didn't have the capacity. It would have been great for our transmission lines right there, but it just didn't have the capacity. Any other questions? I'm pleased with it. I think it represents very well.
Does it something that the assembly should
approve? No, this is our operation plan and assembly. This is a SEPA operations plan, so it's not really come to the assembly necessarily.
Is it favorably received in Petersburg? Do you know?
I asked Robert how it's gone in Petersburg. He told me their questions. They were minimal. I think probably and invite everybody in June to come to the meeting if you want to sit in on that as well. Okay. So we are, I was going to gavel out, call it good. Mayor and assembly appointments, there are none. Public hearing, there is none. Unfinished business, there is none. Proposed resolution 0519-1462 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the fiscal year 2019 budget in the Industrial Construction Fund by accepting revenue from the sale of borough property authorized in resolution number 0119-1439 in the amount of $36,500 and authorized in its expenditure.
Move to approve resolution number 5-19-1462, amending the fiscal year 2019 budget in the Industrial Construction Fund by accepting revenue from the sale of rural property authorized in resolution 01-19-1439 in the amount of $36,500 and authorizing its
expenditure.
Good move. Do we have a second? Anna seconded it. Okay. Discussion. Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Persaud?
Yes. 13B, approval of a negotiating team for collective bargaining with the IBEW.
Move to approve negotiating team for collective bargaining with the IBEW.
Been moved. We have a second.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion. Lisa, do you want to...
Sure.
Go through that with us a bit.
So, Mr. Mayor, the first step that our attorney has recommended as we prepare for going into collective bargaining with the IBEW is that we set a negotiating team. And I realize we're more than a year out right now. The collective bargaining agreement expires at the end of June of next year. And I, as I'm sure you would like to make sure that we are able to move through that process as seamlessly as possible and that we give ourselves enough time to do collective bargaining. Let the union know that we are preparing to set the negotiating team, and sometime probably in the next 6 to 8 weeks, we would be providing them with formal notification that we'd like to enter into the formal bargaining process and start that. The next step following this will be to, as our attorney has advised, set a negotiating ground, put together draft negotiating ground rules and forward those to the union for their consideration. Prior to starting. So The attorney has suggested that the negotiating team is off.